Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome back to In for Life, the podcast. This is episode 324 called Jessica Zucker. This episode is brought to you by Belly. Are you thinking about growing your family? Whether you're just starting to plan or are actively trying to conceive, preconception health is key. That's where Belly comes in. Belly has vitamins to help both women and men optimize their health before pregnancy. With essential nutrients like folate, iodine, and zinc, Belly ensures your body is ready for this exciting next step. Belly goes beyond basic vitamins. Their unique formula supports reproductive health, hormone balance, and fertility, all while being made with the highest quality ingredients. Plus, Belly is created with only clean ingredients so that you can rest assured that you are making a safe choice for you and your future little one. When it comes to starting your family, take the first step with Belly. Give yourself and your future baby the best foundation for a healthy start. Visit bellybaby.com today and use code IAF15 for 15% off your first order. That's bellybaby.com, B-E-L-I-B-A-B-Y, for a healthier tomorrow. Belly Baby, because healthy beginnings start here. Thanks, Belly. This episode is sponsored by Extend Fertility. Fertility shouldn't be dictated by a timeline. Extend Fertility offers cutting-edge egg and embryo freezing, infertility care, and IVF, all designed to put you in control. Their approach? Research-driven, transparent, and personalized. With a world-class lab, exceptional verified success rates backed by nearly a decade of egg freezing results, and pricing lower than the national average, Extend Fertility is making reproductive care more accessible and effective than ever. Whether you're preserving fertility for the future or actively trying to conceive, they're here with expert support every step of the way. Learn more at extendfertility.com. Again, that's extendfertility.com. Thanks, Extend. All right, guys. So I'm doing a promotion for National Infertility Awareness Week. All the Work of Art books are $16, which is half price. So if you go to InfertileAFGroup.com, you can get the book there. It's the non-personalized version and get it for $16. InfertileAFGroup.com. Also, you are all invited to check out Fertility Rally, which is the group I wish I had when I was going through all the stuff I went through. Come join us. You can check out one of our support groups and see if it's something that you're interested in. DM me on InfertileLife Stories or at Fertility Rally, and we can give you a code to join one of our groups and see what you think. But we also have IRL and virtual events. We have 3 private Facebook groups. We have hundreds of women going through all sorts of things and just people who get it. So check us out at fertilityrally.com and on Instagram at Fertility Rally. All right, guys, I'm so excited about my guest today. It's National Infertility Awareness Week, as you probably know. And Jessica Zucker is a badass. She has a new book that just came out. It's called Normalize It. She has another book she wrote a couple of years ago called I Had a Miscarriage, which revolutionized the infertility space. And she is an LA-based psychologist specializing in reproductive and maternal mental health. So we're going to talk about her new book, her other book, I Had a Miscarriage, which still resonates with so many people, including myself. We're going to talk about her pregnancy loss at 16 weeks and how she navigated that whole time and all the other amazing things that she's doing in this space and just in general. So without further ado, this is Jessica on Infertile AF. Hi, Jessica. It's so good to see you, my friend.
Hi. It's so good to be with you again.
Yes. You are one of those people that I feel like I've known for a long time, even though we don't really know each other all that well. But we've had some really good, meaningful conversations just about work and about life and, you know, about what you've been through and when your first book came out, which we will talk about. But also you were a Rally Live keynote speaker. So I feel very connected to you, and hopefully that doesn't sound weird or creepy.
Not at all. Are you kidding? I feel the same.
It's beautiful.
I feel like my experience within the loss community through Instagram, it feels like a family of sorts.
And totally.
It's kind of this beautiful honor to come back together to talk about this next book because I've sort of been out of the loop for a little while.
So. Yeah, absolutely. So we are going to get into all the things. I have your book right here. I'm going to hold it up for the video portion of this. It is called Normalize It. Best fucking title.
That is, I'm like, brilliant. I get it. You don't need to say, you know, say less.
Love it's, that. Thank you.
You know, and the subtitles, upending the silent stigma and shame that shape women's lives. Your first book, of course, as everyone I'm sure knows, is called I Had a Miscarriage. Again, like just putting it out, like you're not beating around the bush with these, which is so brilliant.
I guess and I'm pretty direct that way.
No, it's brilliant. And I love that. So I want to talk about both of the books, but before we get into even any of those, how are you? What's going on? How are you feeling? The world is so crazy right now.
Yeah. Thank you for asking. I mean, that's the thing. I'm like finding that doing these podcasts and sort of because I have this second book coming out, I'm reconnecting with so many people. And the intimacy of these conversations is so powerful. And they're honestly like embodying what my book is all about, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like we're actually asking each other how we are and we mean it and we want to hear it. Yeah. So how am I really today? I'm good. I'm excited about the book. I feel also at the same time overwhelmed and grateful and anxious and looking forward to what's to come.
Mm-hmm. And you and I have talked about putting out books. You know, I self-published my book and, you know, we were kind of helping each other out, you know, sharing resources and posting about each other's books. I think that as women, we have to do that. And I know that you and I agree, and I'd like to talk about this a little bit too, about the whole like a rising tide, you know, carries all ships or lifts all ships or whatever the fuck that saying is. But you know what I mean? You know, there's room for all of us and we need to help each other out as women. And we need, again, in the vein of normalizing it, we need to talk about these hard things. And if somebody has a platform or something that, you know, creative project or something they're working on, like I'm right there wanting to promote stuff and spread the word. And I feel like you are so like that as well.
Oh, well, you really are like that. And oh, well, I was going to grab your book.
That's okay. No, it's not about that. Sorry. But tell me, why is that important to you? You know, you're a girl's girl.
You and the fact that you're like that is so heartening to me because actually I've learned over these months, these years that not everybody is that way.
Yeah.
I sometimes, and I feel like it's a naive thing to say in my early 50s, that I oftentimes think that people will be the way that I am when it comes to these sort of things.
And 100%.
And then I learned the hard way that that is so not necessarily the case. I'm just all about the more the merrier.
Same.
I feel like sharing my editorial list or my contacts and with regard to podcasts or media, whatever. Why not? Like, why shouldn't we all share the stage? I don't feel like it's like one book can do well and another book therefore should.
No, I think it's only better to, the better you do, the better we all do. And it's just getting women's voices out there and women's stories out there. I'm going to paraphrase this and butcher it, I'm sure, but I was listening to the Let Them Theory, the Mel Robbins audiobook. And also actually more so than that, I was listening to Chelsea Handler's new book.
And
it's really good. And she is so in this vein of being a girl's girl and a woman's woman. And she talks about how don't be threatened by another woman's success. Like that's the wrong attitude to have. You know, if somebody is successful, champion them. And it's only for the greater good. She says it much more eloquently than that. But there was a lot in her book that I like found myself taking notes and writing down because I think that she sets a really good example for that as well, as do you.
You know, it's interesting though. And I think I get into this in the book a little bit for different reasons, but like, I do think social media sets us up to be feeling maybe more competitive or like, that we're like missing out or that like, oh, this person has this, but why don't I have this also? And I think it can leave people feeling really isolated and almost alienated from their communities because it's like, well, why isn't this happening to me? And this flurry of things is happening to her. And that in itself, I think can like not pit us against each other. That's too strong, but like, make us feel almost threatened or something.
Yeah.
When in fact, I think what we can do is reach out to that person and say, how'd you do it? You know?
Like, yeah. Or congrats. Like,
exactly.
You know, that's awesome. Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. I mean, I think it's, you know, I'm 50 now as well, you know, so that I think as you get older, you start to realize that a little bit more, feeling more comfortable in your own skin and realizing that somebody's success doesn't mean you're not going to have success. You know, there's room for all of us, like you said. So anyway, that's something I really
want to say. Your book is a game changer.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, you know, maybe we would do this at a different time, but I'd love to hear sort of how you came up with doing it. And the fact that this book hasn't been written before is sort of wild, but it's beautiful and should be in the hands of anybody and everybody who has a child that's come into the world this way.
Oh my God, Jessica, that means so much. This is not planned, you guys. No, but that means so much, especially coming from you. You know, you're an author, you're a brilliant, you have a PhD, you're in this world, you're steeped in helping women. So that does mean a lot to me. Thank you very much. You know, it came from the place of all the other stuff that I've tried to create in this space, this podcast, Fertility Rally. It's something I wish I had when I was kind of in the midst of it. And it came out of, you know, we're talking about Work of Art, my children's book, if anybody doesn't know. And the whole game plan for the book, and we won't talk about this too long because this is about you, but, you know, I wanted it to be a series, and it is going to be a series. And the second book is actually almost done as well. But it's basically, again, normalizing the conversation around family building in so many different ways. And, you know, the first book is my story of me telling my son, you know, that he was created in a lab and you're kind of like a superhero and it's so cool. And my daughter, his sister, came into the world in a totally different way. But you're both so loved and you're both so wanted. And, you know, it touches on secondary infertility a little bit. It touches on miscarriage a little bit, but it's all very palatable for kids and families, because, you know, I really want this to become something that doesn't have a stigma at all. I think we've made really great strides, as you can probably attest, but we have barely scratched the surface. So the first Work of Art book is my story. The second Work of Art book is another family's story. And that one touches on IUI. And, you know, it all includes assisted reproductive technology in some way, but it's also, there's a same-sex couple, and then their family comes together with three parents raising this amazing, beautiful boy. And it's actually my best friend and my godson's story. So it's very personal to me, but it's just, again, you know, putting it out there. And one of the things that has been really cool about, I think, about the Work of Art, the first one was that, you know, my son's school librarian emailed me, and it's in their library because I donated it to a bunch of different school libraries. And she's like, I just want you to know it's getting checked out like crazy. And not necessarily by kids that were ART babies, you know, it's about basketball, and the illustrations are really cool. I have this amazing illustrator. So I love the fact that some kid might take it home, read it with their family and be like, oh, I didn't even know this was a thing, but it's not a big deal. And that's how Sunny was born. And, you know,
this,
like, I love
normalizing
that.
I mean, like, by breaking it down, by integrating it into family conversations, by talking about it over the dinner table, by reading about it together, like, that is precisely the goal. Like, that's exactly what I'm hoping to do with the second book.
Yep.
Really trying to make it not a big deal, not taboo, not filled with shame.
Mm-hmm.
And if they learn about it from this young age,
mm-hmm.
they'll see it as a normative pathway to family building.
Absolutely. So before we dive in and normalize it, which we will, let's talk about I had a miscarriage. And sure. I have to tell you, I so fucking wish that I had that book when I was going through my four miscarriages. I've told this story before. You know, I felt so alone, and I'm like, I work through stuff by talking about it and sharing about it. And I was like, where are the books on miscarriage? Where are the people talking about miscarriage? And I went to the bookstore and I couldn't find anything. This was before your book came out. But when I saw your book and it was called that, I was like, oh my God, it's brilliant. So tell me a little bit, for people who might not know, catch us up on that one and why you wanted to write about it. And if you don't mind sharing a little bit about your own personal experience with that as well, that would be awesome.
Yeah. You know, I don't know why I just got sort of like teary-eyed, because
it's
cool to hear how much you related. And it's hard to hear that you were looking for something that you couldn't find. And exactly why all of us need to be saying more on these hard topics, because too many people are suffering and they feel alone. And then they go to a bookstore and they're only finding books that maybe they don't relate to, or that are a little bit, you know, sort of analogous, but not exactly what they want.
Yep.
So yeah, we need to be putting these works of art out there. Okay. So the background. So I'm a psychologist and I specialize in women's reproductive and maternal mental health, and I've done so for over 15 years at this point. I also come to my career with a background in public health, and I focused then on women's reproductive rights, women's health. And so my vision when I got my PhD was to sort of marry all of my interests into my clinical practice. Mm-hmm. And so I went to the conferences, I read all the books, and, you know, I do not believe that every therapist has to have literally walked in the shoes of all of their patients in order to be helpful. That's sort of an impossibility, really. And so, you know, I knew as much as I could, but I had not lived through anything that most of my patients were talking about until I did. Mm-hmm. So 16 weeks into my second pregnancy, I had a miscarriage while I was home by myself. I was instructed by my doctor by phone to how to cut the umbilical cord. And then I promptly began to hemorrhage. My husband, meanwhile, was racing home from work, and my son was at preschool. And we brought the fetus in a bag to my doctor's office to send off to be tested. And then, to make trauma worse, I underwent an unmedicated DNC.
Wow. I just got the full body chills slash like just like all the PTSD. Like I feel for you. Tell us a little bit more about that. Like, how did you navigate that?
I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like we just do, as you know. It's like when you're faced with trauma, you just do your best. You know, it's fight or flight. I felt like I was living in a documentary. Like, how is this my life? All of my patients, like literally all of my patients, had gone to the doctor and there was no heartbeat, or started to spot and then went to the doctor and there was no heartbeat. Like, I had never heard such a physical story of laboring at home alone. So it was just, I was sort of out of my league and arrested, like psychologically.
Absolutely.
Right. So invariably, this changed sort of the trajectory of my life, both professionally and personally. And I don't know, within, let's see, I think within a year, I started writing nonstop about the topic. But I think it was October of 2012 that I officially launched the I Had a Miscarriage campaign with my first New York Times piece. And in it, like, I held this sign, hashtag I Had a Miscarriage, and you couldn't see my face. I wanted it to sort of be a symbol that, you know, for anybody to kind of imagine themselves holding it if they wanted to.
Right.
And this piece was basically, you know, me stepping onto a soapbox kind of unbeknownst to me. I mean, I wasn't sort of planning to kind of try to create some like global conversation.
Yeah.
But it did. It ignited that. And that's
absolutely,
you know, it was sort of like me begging people and begging culture, can we once and for all do away with the silence, the stigma, and the shame? And I see this as a trifecta that swirls in circles that does us all wrong.
Yep. And it's on your cover, the silence, the stigma, and the shame.
And so, right. It's sort of, you know, I could not get away from having my second book have so much to do with themes from the first book, even though it's a very different book. Also.
Right. I remember that the campaign, and it seems like, how did this not exist before? Like, it's so,
I know.
Obviously, as you know, it's such a universal thing. I can think of 50 people off the top of my head who have had a miscarriage, just boom, 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 boom. Like, there's so much, you know, this, the one in four. And I just love that you went out there and created this thing. And it was like a movement, you know?
I mean, I look back and I'm like, how did I have that energy? Like, why didn't I hire people to help me? Like, why didn't I make this into maybe, you know, a nonprofit or something? Because I mean, it just all happened so organically and so quickly that I couldn't even keep up with it in a way.
Right. I think that's part of the reason it was so successful and widespread is like the authenticity was, you know, at the core. It wasn't like, let's think of something that might go viral or what campaign. It was just like, I had a miscarriage and this is the thing. And then it's so real and it was so raw. That's why it worked so well and continues to work. It's still going, you know, it's still a hashtag and
it's interesting.
You know, things ebb and flow obviously, but
yeah. Yeah. I think when I went through other things after the book came out, it's like, you know, I have not been as active on social media just as life would have it, you know, and because I do feel like at this age and stage, I sort of want to talk about more than miscarriage. And
yes,
that is what my second book, Normalize It, is.
Yes.
It's everything from girlhood, so menstruation through menopause. And of course, pregnancy, pregnancy loss, pregnancy after loss, fertility struggles. Like it's everything I'm passionate about, essentially.
That's such a good segue. I'm looking at the table of contents. And you're talking about women's bodies,
Yes. The
pressure of perfection, intimacy, friendship, grief, shame, sexual trauma, pregnancy not going as planned, the complexities of motherhood, choice, change. Like it's all I just got the chills again because these are all such important things. And each chapter, you know, you kind of dive in to these different topics, but they're all under the umbrella of the silence and the stigma and the shame. And getting fucking rid of that. Like, let's get rid of it, you know?
Yes, exactly. So the book, my aim, my hope, my compassionate plea is that we replace the silence with storytelling. So the book, each chapter has patient composites. They're not based on real people. It's more fictitious to protect, you know, obviously,
sure,
privacy. But the reason they're there is to show the intimacy and the profundity of the therapy experience, but also to illuminate other ways, other places, other avenues to share our stories. So of course we can share our stories in a psychotherapy office, but of course not everybody is prone to wanting to do that or can't afford it or can't access it. And so there are other ways. So the book kind of gives loads of examples of how we can replace silence with storytelling. It can be the simplest way. It doesn't have to be on a public stage. It doesn't have to be on a soapbox with a microphone. It can be as simple as writing in a journal, getting your story out of you so that you feel acknowledged, so that the shame hopefully doesn't simmer, doesn't percolate, doesn't eat you alive.
Mm-hmm.
You can write it in the journal and burn it.
Mm-hmm.
You can,
exactly.
You can whisper your story to your neighbor. You know, you could join a support group and be anonymous. You could write a piece that's anonymous. Like, so there's just a variety of ways, because I think some people are like, ooh, but I don't want to get on, you know, social media and talk about my X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't. And you don't have to. And I totally get that. And I don't even know what compelled me to do it, because I wasn't really even a social media person before this. So,
I understand that when people are like, I don't want to be the face of, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Totally.
And everybody has different comfort levels in terms of what they want to share and how they want to put themselves out there and put their stories out there. So I fully agree with you. Like, I love when people are sharing publicly, but I also really respect and appreciate people that want to be anonymous or, you know, like you said, just, you know, don't want to share on a platform. They just want to do it in a group or amongst friends or whatever. And that's fine. I think normalizing sharing your story looks different also, you know, there's no pressure.
Right.
That's important.
So like
too.
Even if somebody, for example, wanted to write a book, like maybe it's not even a memoir, but maybe they write a book about fertility struggles and, you know, all that surrounds that. Even if they write the book so that it's in the world and the information's out there, but they don't want to market it and they don't want to get on every radio and every podcast and every TV show, that's okay too. You know, so it's like people have to decide for themselves what they're comfortable with. My main thing though is I feel like I see it too often in therapy and I hear it too often all over the place that shame is the thing like is the bedrock of what is bringing about the most pain. And shame, I think, is based on what came before, the silence and the stigma.
Mm-hmm.
If we break through it,
yes,
even in the most subtle way, we have a chance to feel differently.
This episode is brought to you by Happy Mammoth. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. The good news? We don't have to suffer through any of it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. In fact, a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are more than 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. Okay, guys, so here is the very exciting news. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code INFERTILEF at checkout. Again, that's happymammoth.com and use the code INFERTILEF for 15% off. Thanks, Happy Mammoth. This episode is brought to you by My Life in a Book. Are you thinking about sending someone a truly special gift? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your loved one's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send your loved one a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about their life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then your loved one can either type their response or use their voice-to-text feature. MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of their responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using your loved one's voice recordings. It's like preserving their voice and stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about your loved one's youth, adventures, and the challenges they overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can cherish forever. Your loved one has given you a lifetime of stories, and this is your chance to give them a way to share them. So guys, I received my MyLifeInABook.com to try, and I decided to gift it to my mother-in-law for an upcoming Mother's Day gift. Don't tell her, and I hope she's not listening to this. But it's so easy to use, and they walk you through everything you need to do, and it creates a unique gift like no other. It's so cool and exciting to have something like this that we can cherish forever. So here's the best part. You can check out mylifeinabook.com and use code INFERTILEAF at checkout for 15% off. If you want to create an unforgettable gift for your loved one, there's really no other way to go. Go to mylifeinabook.com and use code INFERTILEAF for 15% off today. Thanks, My Life in a Book.
Yeah, I'd love to dive in since obviously this is a podcast about infertility and pregnancy loss and family building and all that stuff. I'd love to just dive in a little bit about not the specific stories in your book necessarily, but just the notion of, normalizing pregnancy that doesn't go as planned. Let's talk like why do you feel like that is so important? And what did you learn like in talking to people and all your research on that topic specifically?
Right. I mean, well, you and me both are the living examples, right?
Right.
I mean, it's the whiplash of thinking your life will go one way and it goes another is not something that we recover from overnight.
Oh my God, that's so good.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, and culture sort of requires it like, oh, well, at least you have a thriving career, or at least you're young, or at least you got pregnant in the first place. Or I mean, all this like bullshit platitudes,
right?
Flying in our faces. And these are from loved ones, even. These are well-meaning people.
Right.
That culture's so uncomfortable talking about grief, talking about a pregnancy, like that they didn't, that people, I think pregnancy loss is one of the hardest things to talk about because nobody else experienced the pregnancy except for you.
Mm-hmm.
This was mm-hmm. an imagined family member. And so most people just want to clean it up and fix it by saying, try again.
Move yep. on.
You've got this. You're strong. Da-da-da. All of these kind of fix it vibes that make people feel like they want to go running for the hills.
Right. And I think people often, you know, don't know what to say either. I had a friend, a fertility rally member, and a friend of mine now named Karen on a recent episode of this podcast. And she was saying, you know, people tend to ghost you when you're going through a hard time because they don't want to say the wrong thing. But that's so hurtful because, like, people who've gone through loss want to talk about it. And lost moms, you know, want to talk about their babies. And, you know, people don't want to talk about it because it's too hard.
Well, I call bullshit on, you know, being scared to say the wrong thing. I think, honestly, I didn't mean that in a harsh way, but I mean,
no, I love it.
I think it's an excuse and I get it. Like I do try to make myself look back prior to having a miscarriage and thinking about like, what did I say to people? Like not my patients, but just, you know, people mm-hmm. in preschool or whatever. And I'm sure I put my foot in my mouth as well, you know?
Right.
But I think avoiding the top, it's almost better to say maybe the wrong thing than to say nothing at all. Because at least if you say the wrong thing, if you're close enough, the griever can say, girl, that is not what I needed to hear right now.
Like, totally.
You know, saying at least I can get pregnant means nothing. You know, it does nothing for me in terms of my loss. I just lost a pregnancy that I wanted, you know.
Right.
But that takes a certain level of friendship to be able to
sure.
do.
And I think also like what one of the things that I've learned is just even saying, I don't know what to say, but yeah. I love you and I'm sorry. I don't want to say the wrong thing, but I don't want to say nothing. I'm here for you. You know, that's just as powerful. You don't have to have the magic words. And oftentimes who gives a shit? The words don't mean anything
exactly.
anyway.
I mean,
it's
that,
just no, being there. And
perfect. Yes. That's exactly right. Like, just being there, just showing up, just saying, I don't know what to say, but I'm saying something because I love you.
Right.
That can do wonders for somebody who is laying in bed, feeling isolated, feeling even, you know, the research shows that a lot of women are blaming themselves. They feel a sense of shame. Mm-hmm. They feel a sense of body failure in the mm-hmm. pregnancy loss. So if people are avoiding them, they feel even worse.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, again, like we're not doing ourselves any favors by just not going there, you know? And I think it's okay to just be like, I don't fucking know. But, you know, people just want to be seen and heard and right. acknowledged, right? Which brings me to one other topic I want to talk about, you know, just overall normalizing is grief. Mm. Tell me a little bit about your like learnings and what you've imparted in the book on that topic.
Right. Well, it's exactly what we're saying. It's like, can people step away from this kind of grief stage model stuff mm-hmm. and do away with timelines, do away with silver linings, do away with trying to fix mm-hmm. and literally just be present. And mm-hmm. I mean, it is a tall order. And yet I think it's actually the simplest thing that we can do. Like you said, just saying, I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like all we need. The other thing though, that I would add, I don't know how you felt after your losses. I wanted people to check in months later because this was such a physical and emotional trauma for me. There was no way I was getting quote over it, you know, in a month or two.
Right.
I appreciated people who 6 months later said, how's it going? Especially because I was pregnant again and freaking out.
Right.
Every single day of that subsequent pregnancy, I was freaking out.
Of course. Yes.
And so I think when we acknowledge grief later, you know, obviously when it first happens, we need everybody there. But I mean, it feels scary when you're just, everyone's moved on.
Totally. Well, it's like life goes on. And of course it does. But then you're like fledgling in the middle of the ocean. You're like, where's the fucking lifeboats? They were all here at first.
I know.
And now they're not here anymore.
And what are you supposed to do about that?
Yeah.
So I think, and you know, some people in my field, I think, and I wonder what you think of this. I think this is widely talked about in the pregnancy loss community, that asking the griever what they need can be inappropriate. I have like different feelings about it. I feel like saying to somebody, I'm here for you, what do you need, isn't as off-putting as maybe some people feel it is. Because
I feel like inappropriate is a harsh, you know, like maybe I guess you're saying like people don't put the onus on the griever to come up with an idea of how I can help. Like they're already too overwhelmed. Right.
That's so right.
Just, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think people have good intentions across the board. So I would hate to fault somebody who does something like that. You know, they're trying, but yeah, I mean, I guess it is better to just be like, I'm bringing lunch over. Or I'll leave it on your doorstep.
Yes.
End of story. Just doing stuff, you know?
Yeah. And I think asking people if they want to talk about it or say, you know, because again, especially within the pregnancy loss world, because nobody else had that pregnancy, I think people think, oh, you know, I don't want to bring it up in case she's not thinking about it anymore.
Mm.
Or, you know, maybe she's trying again, so I shouldn't bring it up again because, you know, that might haunt her or something. I really don't think.
We're always thinking about it.
Exactly.
It's always right on the tip.
And
absolutely.
Even if you're not, how beautiful that somebody remembering what you've been through and that they have the courage to say something.
Yeah. I've been trying to that end. I've been trying a new thing, like not like New Year's resolution this year, but like, you know, when someone randomly pops in your head, you think of someone maybe you haven't thought of in a while, somebody from high school or an old job or a family member you haven't talked to in a while. I've been trying, and I'm not saying I've done it every time, but like text that person or reach out to them and just be like, hey, you popped into my head. And this new thing I'm doing is if you pop into my head, maybe it was for a reason. How are you? You know, I've done it probably a handful of times, but I think it's like a good way to just kind of, again, you know, those three words, like, how are you, can be so powerful. And, you know,
I think that's the title of your next book.
That's your next book.
No way. I'm off. I'm done. I'm too old. I'm done.
Yeah. But I do think that's
Yes.
And, you know, I think it's a good thing to try to practice is just like, you never know when somebody might need something or it just feels good, you know, for someone to reach out and be like, hey, I had a dream about you last night or I saw something and it reminded me of you. Love you. Hope you're great. You know, that's just, that can like change someone's day. And then the ripple effect from that too, you know, can be really great. So I think that we just need to like, this is so like hippy dippy, but like just spread the love more, you know, if you think of someone, tell them.
Yeah. I think that when we've been through enough pain, hopefully we open our hearts a little bit more in ways that are unexpected and then able to rise for those around us, maybe in ways that we had no idea we could do, you know?
Right. Do you mind talking a little bit more about the, you know, you said you were a nervous wreck for your pregnancy after loss. Can we talk a little bit about that too? I know there's so many people listening who are in that boat and, you know, it's such a different animal to be pregnant after you've experienced some sort of loss rather than just pregnant, you know, without any kind of trauma before that.
And I think again, like talk about something we don't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people just assume, oh, you're pregnant, so it's all good. You know,
right.
That's like washed away, like that we can now forget about what you went through to get here. And it's like, I don't feel I took a deep breath for the 9-10 months that I was pregnant. I just didn't. We did find out that there was a chromosomal abnormality with the miscarriage fetus. And in many ways, I do feel that was helpful information for me because I do find that most of my patients who just never know what happened or why, it's even harder to step into the next chapter because they don't know if that very same thing will happen again. Now, I didn't know if that very same thing or something similar could happen either, but it just, I think there was something for me that was reassuring. I had already had my healthy son. So when I had my miscarriage, I actually didn't feel a sense of self-blame or shame or body failure at all. Honestly, I actually feel like in retrospect, like my body was working and something wasn't right. I mean, obviously I wished it had happened maybe earlier in the pregnancy and that the whole scene was different.
Yeah.
But being pregnant after pregnancy loss for me was befuddling. Like, I don't even know how we do it. Like, just showing up each day trying to engage in work, trying to be a mother, trying to distract myself enough to not obsess over each and every feeling in my body or lack of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
My breasts didn't hurt, or if I wasn't having cravings or wasn't nauseous, like, you know, just
second guessing everything, right? Yeah.
And the what if cycle.
Yeah. Like, I remember going to the bathroom and just every single time I would pee, I was like, please, no blood, please, no blood. Please. And even after I had my son via IVF, after like all my losses, I still had that, like, if I saw blood when I wiped, it was so triggering. Exactly. Even if it was just, I had my period, like it just brought back this flurry. And again, I don't think that's something people talk about a lot. It's maybe, you know, there's obviously no such thing as TMI in my world, but it's so common.
Right. People don't talk about that, you know, how triggering the first period is.
Right.
At a loss, and then how triggering it can remain. I mean,
Yes, absolutely. Well, Jessica, you are literally changing the world with this book, Normalize It. I adore you. You're so brilliant. You're so supportive of other people. And obviously, because you wrote this book wanting to help people, but I can't thank you enough. And I can't wait to see, it's going to go gangbusters. And, you know, I'll obviously do anything I can to get it out there as well and spread the word, because I really think it's so needed. And I just think your mission and who you are as a person is just so amazing. And I'm proud to know you. And thank you so much for doing this.
I feel exactly the same way about you.
Good.
For all that you do in the world.
And I can't wait to hopefully do some events together. And, you know, we'll talk about all that stuff. So
yeah, I want to be back at the rally.
Yes, absolutely. So tell us before we wrap, you know, Normalize It. I feel like it's for everybody, right? I mean,
it's for every woman.
Yeah.
You know, younger, like 20s age, you know, girls could read it as well. I feel like everyone will be able to see themselves in these pages, whether you can directly relate to one story or not. I still think, though, that because it covers the lifespan, there's kind of no way around seeing yourself. And just even if it just provokes additional insight or thought or reflection about, oh yeah, how did my mother talk to me when I got my period, or my father for that matter? Because my father's the one that I turn to about these types of things because he's a doctor and we're very close. So, you know, I think it'll help ignite hope conversations, self-reflection, and hopefully additional insight into, oh, you know, these experiences along the way really shaped the person I am. And maybe there's some shame. Maybe there's some silence around certain areas of my life that I actually would benefit from talking more about.
Thank you so much for listening, guys. If you need anything, please reach out to me. My DMs are open. I'm on InForLifeStories on Instagram. You can also reach out to me through Fertility Rally, which is Fertility Rally on Instagram. Check out our website, fertilityrally.com. Check out my book, Work of Art, which is on my website at infertileafgroup.com. The second book, called Beautiful Bird, is coming soon, and I can't wait for you guys to see it. So thanks to Jessica Zucker. Check out her book as well, which is called Normalize It. And let's just normalize the shit out of all this stuff. I love it. Thank you for listening. I hope you're having a good day, and I will talk to you soon.